Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome everyone to episode number 2 from Delving Into Islam Thoughts. This is your host Wael, and it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a privilege that I'm able to talk to you about the religion of Islam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing me to share my knowledge with you. Thank you so much for listening, participating, and sending in all your questions and suggestions. Now, speaking of which, if you have any questions or suggestions, please email me at delvingintoislam@gmail.com. Again, delvingintoislam@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as soon as possible, inshallah. Also, if you want to keep up with the release dates, you know, the episode titles ahead of time, whenever I go on a break, all these things, you can follow me on Instagram at Delving Into Islam Podcast. Again, Delving Into Islam Podcast for all the upcoming announcements. Now, Delving Into Islam Thoughts is basically whenever I have a random thought about the religion of Islam or about a topic that is related to the religion of Islam, and I feel like it's, you know, it's worth talking and sharing, talking about and sharing with you guys, then I, you know, make an episode about it without, you know, disrupting the main, our main topics or, you know, our Q&A episodes. Now, today's episode is regarding basically our current days right now. So right now we are literally in the middle of, or we just started the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And, you know, subhanAllah, as many of you know, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the most significant nights of the month. Again, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the most significant nights in the month of Ramadan. You know, you hear a lot of people saying, you know what, I need to push myself harder to do, you know, I need to do more. I need to push myself more during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. I need to not miss any of the, you know, Taraweeh prayers during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. You even hear some people say, I cannot accept any, like, kind of iftar invitation. I can't go and have iftar with, you know, friends and family during the last 10 nights of Ramadan because I want to focus, you know, mainly on worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So again, obviously it's a big deal. A lot of Muslims talk about the last 10 nights. We're in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. We have to work hard. But why though? Like, what's so significant about the last 10 nights of Ramadan? Well, within the last 10 nights of Ramadan is the most significant night of the entire year. Again, within the last 10 nights of Ramadan is the most significant night of the entire year, which is called the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. And it is significant according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know by default, right? When there is something significant to Allah, it has to be by default significant to us as believers, as Muslims. Like, for example, Fridays, for example, you know, every Friday is the best day of the week according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan is the best, you know, month of the year, again, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of Arafah, which we will talk about in the future, inshallah, again, is the best day of the year. And we have, within the best month, like we said, Ramadan is the best night of the entire year in the sight of Allah, the night of Qadr. And because it is the best night in the sight of Allah, it has to be. It's a sign of belief, by the way, that it is the best night to us, because it's the best night, the night according to our Creator. So if you are a believer in our Creator, if you are a true believer, then by default, again, it is, it should be the most significant night, and it should be such a big deal for us. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the chapter of Hajj, verse number 32, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمَ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Allah saying, when you praise and glorify Allah's rituals, Allah's symbols, and again, the night of Qadr is one of Allah's symbols. Allah tells you it's a big deal. Then it's one of Allah's symbols. The month of Ramadan is, you know, one of Allah's symbols. That's what it's meant by شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. the rituals of Allah. When Allah says something is a big deal, something is important, that is basically sha'air Allah. When Allah glorifies certain days, certain months, certain things, right? Us glorifying them, Allah is saying, فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. If you glorify something, this is what what the verse basically means or interprets to. وَمَن يُعَظِّمَ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. If you glorify whatever Allah glorifies, the symbols of the religion, the symbols of Allah, the rituals of Allah, when you glorify those rituals, those symbols of our religion, فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. It is a direct sign of your belief, or the belief of your heart. تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That means your heart is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what I mean? And it's beautiful, subhanAllah. And Allah tells you, when you glorify something because I glorified it, because it's a symbol of mine, it's a symbol of my religion, then rest assured this is because your heart has conscious of Allah, has faith. So when people don't care about the night of Qadr, I'm like, it's just a night. Who cares? They have a problem. And we don't want to be from those people. You know, like whenever you see, again, it's subhanAllah, it all depends on the level of faith. It all depends on the level of faith. So that is one thing. Now, I need to also tell you something about the night of Qadr. The night of Qadr, by the way, has many meanings in English. SubhanAllah, that's one part of the beauty of the Arabic language, which is one word in the Arabic language could translate into like many meanings in the English language. For example, the night of Qadr translates to the night of decree. Qadr, coming from Qadr, which is basically predestination, which is the night of decree. And by the way, there is a good reason why it's called the night of decree, because the decree of Allah descends for the rest of the year. We're going to talk about that. Also, the night of Qadr translates to the night of power. You see a lot of scholars referring to the night of Qadr as the night of power. Also, the night of Qadr could translate to, by the way, all these meanings are accurate. They're all true. They all could be correct, right? It also translates to the night of constriction, meaning what? When we describe the night of Qadr, you'll know what I mean, but basically, the heavens or the sky is filled with angels during the night of Qadr, and that's they're like all constricted together, right? The sky is constricted with all the angels flying in it. SubhanAllah. Also, it is called the night of Qadr. Could also translate to the night of appreciation or high status. You know, when you say give someone his Qadr, وما قدر الله حق قدره. They didn't give Allah his true status. So that means the night of Qadr is the night of the high status or the night of appreciation. Again, all these meanings are correct. Now, it makes sense that the most significant night is existing within the most significant month. However, you could argue that that's not always the case, because we have the most significant day of the year. The best day in the sight of Allah is outside of the month of Ramadan, which is the day of Arafah, which is basically the day before the Eid al-Adha, the Adha Eid, right? And again, we're going to talk about that whenever we have a chance to get to it. But for now, it's not always the case, but it makes sense right now that, okay, the best month within the best month on the side of Allah is also the best night. Now, another reason why the night of Qadr is such a significant night is, we mentioned this in the previous episode. We said that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, that was in a chapter of Baqarah, verse number 185. But then Allah tells us which day of Ramadan Quran was revealed. So Allah says in the chapter of Baqarah, verse number 185, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Quran was revealed during the month of Ramadan to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hence to all of mankind, basically. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in detail now which day or which night technically of Ramadan Quran was revealed. That was in the chapter of Qadr, verse number 1. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. So Allah now is telling you, well, we revealed the Quran during the night of Qadr in Ramadan. So again, both verses technically confirm one another. because Nayl al-Qadr is within Ramadan. So Allah, when Allah says the Quran was revealed in Ramadan, it makes sense. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Quran was revealed during the Nayl al-Qadr, okay, now we have the further detail that it was revealed specifically during the night of Qadr. As a matter of fact, in a chapter of Dukhan, verse number 3, Allah also says that, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Qur'an. He said, we brought down the Qur'an. Allah talking about himself. Again, I said when Allah says we, that doesn't mean that it's multiple gods. It's when Allah says نَحْنُ, we, it's a way of glorifying himself. Allah is glorifying himself by saying we. But Allah means He's only one. We talked about this in a lot of detail. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah." I brought down the Quran on such a blessed night, meaning what? The night of Qadr, right? So that again, that is in the chapter of Dukhan, verse number 3. So now, imagine you and me. We are talking about Quran. We're studying Quran. Our whole life is connected to the Quran. If you're true believers, we should be connected significantly, attached to the Quran. So now Quran was revealed during the night of Qadr, which makes it a big deal. That shows you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose such a specific and a significant night to reveal His final religion, His final book to all of mankind. Now, to better understand the night of Qadr, let's do something different. We're gonna, inshallah, interpret the entire chapter of Al-Qadr. So we have a chapter named after the night of Qadr, which is called Al-Qadr. So I want to interpret, by the way, it's not a long chapter. It's literally only 5 verses. So it's going to be a very quick interpretation, but it's something different. You know, I know I've had a whole episode about interpreting, in a way, not actually in a lot of detail, the first chapter of the Quran, Al-Fatiha, just to kind of glossed over the meanings of it. We did not fully interpret the chapter of Al-Fatiha or the first chapter. But here I want to also do the same thing. I want to interpret the 5 verses of the chapter of Al-Qadr to understand the significance of the night of Qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we said, starts the chapter with Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. That is verse number 1. I brought down the Quran during the night of Qadr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wama, that's verse number 2 now. Wama adraka ma laylatul qadr. Allah saying to the Prophet ﷺ and to us, by the way, you have no idea how significant the night of Qadr is. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the night of Qadr is far more significant than you can ever imagine. And that happens again every year. It's an annual night that happens on a yearly basis. So Allah is saying, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ, you have no idea how significant Laylatul Qadr or the night of Qadr is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 3, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. This is a big deal now. Allah says, the night of the Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Wait, what? What are you talking about? Well, think about it this way, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying one night. Can you imagine, my dear brothers and sisters? One night is better than 1,000 months. All right, but from which angle exactly? Meaning what? Worshipping Allah on the night of Qadr is far better. Khayrun, not equal. It's not equivalent. It's far better. Khayrun from worshipping Allah for 1,000 months. Ya Allah. So I want you to just, wallahi, to imagine. I just want you to honestly think how significant this night is. Imagine yourself worshiping Allah constantly for 1,000 months. Then Allah saying, take all those, by the way, 1,000 months is literally equal to 83 years and 4 months. So it's almost 84 years of constant worship. Think about it this way. Again, imagine if you're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly for almost 84 years. Again, 83 years and 4 months to be specific, 1,000 months. Now, we're assuming that because I know a lot of people who like very like logistics, and we're assuming that the 1,000 months or those 83 years or 84 years do not include the night of Qadr. Okay, because I know people's like, well, if I worship Allah for 1,000 months, the night of Qadr will fall there multiple times. Take the night of Qadr out of it. Allah is trying to tell you an example. So let's say that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 83 years without excluded. The night of Qadr is excluded from those 84 years, okay? One night of Qadr is far better than the 84 years of worship. Allah saying that. This is not me saying it. This is literally in the chapter of Qadr, verse number 3. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. It is far better than worshiping me for 1,000 months. Almost 84 years. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? 84 years of waking up every day for Fajr during dawn time. And it depends. Sometimes it's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, depending on what time of the year and your location. Waking up for Fajr, praying Fajr, and then reading Quran, and then praying Dhuhr, reading Quran, and praying Asr, and being good to your parents, and reading Quran, and doing dhikr after praying, and doing dhikr before you go to bed, and doing dhikr once you wake up, and all these adhkar, and again, this is what we call worship, right? This is what we call worshiping. This is how you properly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine doing this for 84 years, and Allah saying, if you do this, if you perfect it for one specific night, it's better than the 84 years. Now, does that mean, I know there are those people too, does that mean let's give up the 84 years if we do this one night? No, 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 no. Allah saying the rewards of worshiping me on that night is far better than worshiping me for 84 years. But if you're living for 84 years, you're obligated to worship Allah every single day. You have to, at least by the 5 daily prayers, you know, by fasting Ramadan when Ramadan comes, by paying zakah, by doing, this is all acts of worship, by reading Quran. So my point is, because I know there are people like nitpick on Allah's statements. They're trying to, but does that mean if I worship Allah during this one night of Qadr, does that mean I can skip 84 years of worshiping? No, it doesn't work that way. Allah's saying it is a replacement. Allah is very specific and very clear when in his statements in the Quran. Allah saying it's far better in terms of rewards. Allah saying it's not a replacement. Because if that's the case, then a lot of people will just worship Allah during that one night. They're going to try to perfect the last 10 nights of Ramadan. They're going to be staying home, you know, sleeping on their couches, no worship, no nothing for the rest of the year or every year, actually. If you're considering it, it's like 84 years, right? So for 84 years, they're not going to do anything. That's not what Allah means. Try to make it very clear to you guys. Allah specifically saying, worshiping me on the night of Qadr has far better rewards than worshiping me for almost 84 years. That means you have to worship me for the rest of your life. That does not mean, no, it's not an alternative, like I said. It just means that if you perfect worshiping me on that night, imagine the rewards you get, plus the rewards you get, you know, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every other day outside of the night of Qadr. It's all good for you. You're just piling up good deeds. But every time you worship Allah, that means during the night of Qadr, that means your words are increased incredibly. You can't even imagine it. Okay, so that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by khayrun min alfi shahr. It's not a replacement. You cannot replace worshiping Allah outside of the night of Qadr by worshiping Him during the night of Qadr. That doesn't work that way. Allah's just saying, no, worshipping me on the night of Qadr has far better rewards than worshipping me for almost 84 years. But you're still obligated to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside of the night of Qadr. Just again, in case of it wasn't clear, I hope that made it clear for you. Then verse number 4, same chapter. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. Again, the angels led by Angel Jibreel, the angel Gabriel, who is basically the leader of the angels, they descend to earth, they descend down. Now, some scholars say that they descend to the first heaven, which is very close to us, or they descend to earth. It doesn't really matter. They descend down for us, specifically on that night, led by Angel Jibreel, by a permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ By permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually sends down many angels. We don't know if it's not all of them. We know that for a fact because Allah didn't say all the angels. Allah said that many angels. The Prophet actually said, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ عَدَدِ الْحَصَى The Prophet said in a hadith, the angels on that night that descend down to earth their numbers are more than the pebbles existing on the face of the earth. I want you to fathom this. Try to fathom it. How many pebbles do we have on the face of this earth? Millions and millions, if you think about it. Millions of pebbles. Or it could be even more. So the Prophet is saying the number of angels descending on that night are more than the number of pebbles existing in our planet on the face of the earth. So can you imagine the number of angels? That's why I said we called it the night of constriction. Because the heavens is filled, or that the sky, our sky, is filled with the angels. They're all crammed together, constricted together, led by Angel Gabriel or Angel Jibril. Now, why do they descend in that manner on the night of Qadr? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this night is such a special night that His soldiers, and Allah calls them, junood, وَمَا يَعْلَمْ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the angels junood, soldiers, His soldiers, right? Not for protection, Allah does not need protection, but basically they kind of, Allah makes the angels execute certain things that He wants, like again, writing our deeds, you know, saving us sometimes from imminent danger that was not written upon us, all these things. We talked about this, go back to the series of the angels. But my point is, why does Allah let His angels, His soldiers, come down to earth, descend to earth on that night? First of all, because it is a very significant night. That's number one. Number two, and it's such a blessed night. Number two, they come down and they send salam upon every believer who is worshiping Allah on that night. Do you see now why it is significant to worship Allah on the night of Qadr? They witness us, my dear brothers and sisters. They come down. Allah sees us, sees everyone, sees everything. But Allah, like I always say, has His rituals. Sha'a'ir Allah, remember? We just said that in the beginning of the episode. Allah has His own rituals. Allah can hear and see and record and know every single human being who's worshiping and every single human being who's not worshiping. Allah knows that. This is not something that Allah needs the angels for. But Allah's showing us humans the significance of that night by allowing the angels to descend and witness. You know, wallahi, I have this, what you call, an imaginative mind. I always imagine things, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot imagine Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. You're not supposed to try to imagine Allah. And every time shaitan whispers to you to try to imagine Allah or picture Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always say, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah is unlike anything I could ever imagine, and say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, I seek refuge. Because this is a way of shaitan to manipulate our minds to try to imagine Allah. I know that was a little bit of a tangent, but I just wanted to let you know. Back to my point. I imagine things sometimes. So when I read this verse, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا, I'm literally imagining on that night, the sky is filled with angels. Of course, we cannot see them, but it's filled with them. And they're looking at us. They look at us and they try to see who's worshiping and who's not. And they're focused on those who are worshiping. And they bless us. And they send us all by permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرِ. Everything they do is by permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They send their salam upon us. And they make dua for us. Those people know how significant that night is. And they're worshiping Allah. They're not playing around. They're not going out and having fun with their buddies. They're not sleeping and not caring about the night of Qadr. They're actually up praying Taraweeh on that night, reading Quran on that night, trying to pray Tahajjud when they go home. They are trying their best to catch that night. And they make dua for us. They are happy with us. And they're pleased with us like our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is pleased with us. That is how significant worshiping Allah on that night is and how it looks like. It is in the world of the unseen. It is. However, Allah described it for us so we can imagine it, right? And it tells, wallahi, it gives me goosebumps how wonderful such night is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last verse of the chapter of Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse number 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills the believers with peace from any evil, from any harm until dawn. Salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr. Or basically some scholars said, earth will be filled with peace, but only in the spots or the locations where people are praying and worshiping Allah. So technically, it's the same meaning. Filling the believers with peace, filling the places where the believers are worshiping Allah, including our homes, with peace. Technically, it's the same thing. Until dawn, because once dawn hits, the night is over. The night of Qadr is over. And angels, again, back to our angels, because it's all about peace, angels say salam. By the way, salam means peace in Arabic. So angels say salam to all of the believers worshiping on that night, one by one. Guys, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, worshiping on that night, angels come down and say salam to you. Salam means peace be upon you. Can you imagine? Led by angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Can you imagine this? They're coming and telling us one by one, salamun alaik, peace be upon you. May Allah forgive you. May you enter Jannah. Peace be upon you. May Allah forgive you. May you enter Jannah. Peace be upon you. Every single one of us. And there's enough of them to do this all at the same time. Subhanallah. You know, Ibn Abbas, actually, one of the companions, narrated that the Prophet ﷺ, basically to summarize this in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا كَانَ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ سُكَّانُ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. So the Prophet ﷺ is actually now explaining even further what types of angels are coming down to earth, are descending. They are the ones by Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha is basically what we call the Tree of Life. We believe in the concept of the Tree of Life. This happened during the night of Isra and Mi'raj. I don't want to get into that. Go back to the night of Isra and Mi'raj, I think in season 4, and I explained the whole thing. Sidratul Muntaha is literally the Tree of Life. Allah created that tree, and it's between the 7th heaven and the 6th heaven. I think the roots go down to the 6th heaven, and it's up in the 7th heaven. And the angels are from this area, led by, again, angel Jibreel, they come down. So there are special type of angels that come down on that night. So that also shows you that it's not all the angels, right? It's a proof right there that not all, all the angels, we can't even fathom their numbers. But even though they're just the angels of the Sidratul Muntaha or the Tree of Life, they are more than the number of pebbles that we have on earth. That shows you, again, how massive the numbers of angels are. And minhum Jibreel, Angel Gabriel, is they're led by Angel Gabriel, Angel Jibreel, right? Now look at this. وَلَا تَدَعْ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا تُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِ. They do not leave a single believer from the males and a single believer from the females unless they say, peace be upon you, salam onto you. Like I just said, that's literally the explanation of the hadith. Every single worshiping believer, they go and they say, salam to you, salam to you, salam to you. Peace be upon you or peace onto you. Now, the Prophet ﷺ says there are exceptions. Illa mudmunul khamri, alcoholics. Angels do not come near them, even if they were believers, the Muslims, right? Wa akulul khanziri, those who eat pork. Again, some Muslims, unfortunately, they eat pork. Wal mutamaddihu bizza'faran. Basically, it's a thing that used to happen back. Actually, maybe there is another version of it or equivalent kind of version of this happening in our days. Basically, men who spray themselves with female perfumes. Because men who imitate women are hated in the sight of Allah. They are actually cursed, and women who are imitating men are cursed in the sight of Allah or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So back in the day, they used to have saffron extract in their perfumes. So men who put that, because it's a female thing to have saffron. So I think that was the case, that when you have a perfume that's made with saffron, it's a female perfume. So when men put that, angels do not come near them because basically they're trying to imitate women. Again, it's the equivalent of men who look like women, men who put women perfumes to smell like women. Again, we're literally, this is not weird in today's world. This is actually very common, unfortunately. And some of them are Muslims. So again, even if Muslims who do these things, angels do not even come near them. So those are the exceptions. Actually, there's another hadith by Anas ibn Malik. إِذَا كَانَتَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ نَزَلَ جِبْرِيلُ فِي كَبْكَبَةٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ يُصَلُّونَ وَيُسَلِّمُونَ عَلَى كُلِّ قَائِمٍ أَوْ قَاعِدٍ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Here's another beautiful hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, when the night of Qadr takes place, Gabriel comes down with a massive number of angels. يُصَلُّونَ وَيُسَلِّمُونَ. They send peace and blessings upon كُلُّ قَائِمْ, everyone who's standing in prayers. أَوْ قَاعِدًا, everyone who's sitting down. You don't have to be standing. Sitting down while doing dhikr, or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوْ قَاعِدٌ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهُ, meaning reading Qur'an, just doing dhikr. They send peace and blessings upon every one of those. Again, you could be just doing tarawih. It's not like you have to wake up in the middle of the night. You should be waking up in the middle of the night. But even if you pray tarawih sincerely and fully with, you know, in congregation, then you will be from those, because the angels will come down during the night and witness this, and they will send salam upon every single one who's worshiping Allah and praying tarawih during that time. And when you go home, you read Quran, you just say dhikr. Just say dhikr. Say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. This is all dhikr, and the angels will keep sending salam upon you while you're doing that. My dear brothers and sisters, this is a night you don't want to miss. You want to be from the special ones. Imagine angels coming down saying salam just to you. Not just in all Muslims. One by one, it is said. Kullu Muslim, every single Muslim who's doing these things. And it's one night. I know that we don't know when that night is. We'll talk about that in a second. But again, just do your best in the last 10 nights. That's why the last 10 nights are significant. Do your best. Do your best, and that's all. Now, nobody's saying do not worship Allah outside. We just said that. But if you want to go hard, you know, go be very tough, push yourself, this is it. We're in it right now. Because we all know that Allah could pick us from those who will be completely exempt from hellfire. This is such a big deal, wallahi. You know, being a Muslim does not exempt us from hellfire. We know that. We could go to hellfire for doing terrible things. Imagine now you're being exempt from hellfire, my dear brothers and sisters, for good. And Allah does not back down from His words. You know that, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah gives a promise and we're from those who are selected, that's it. That's it. So think about that. Just push yourself. Last 10 nights, push yourself. And you know, like, there's a beautiful hadith by the Prophet ﷺ when he said, "Man salla al-isha'u fi jama'a faka'innama qama nisfu al-layl." You know, I have friends of mine who literally say, you know what, if I don't have time to pray tarawih because there's something I have to do, I have to catch Isha prayer, which is the night prayers, in congregation in the masjid. And then you see a lot of people, even when you go to the masjid, right, in the mosque, they leave after the Isha prayer, the four rak'ahs of Isha prayer, because of this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you pray Isha, then you literally prayed half of the qiyam of the night. Imagine this. You literally stood in qiyam, meaning aka in our Ramadan terms, tarawih. Again, tarawih, by the way, the real expression or the real name of the prayers that we do, what we call tarawih, is the qiyam prayers. That's what we call it. Qiyam meaning standing. The prayers of, and of course, you know, for obvious reasons, you're standing, praying, reciting Quran. So the true name of that kind of prayer is not tarawih. Tarawih is kind of a recent term that was, you know, specifically meant for qiyam prayers in Ramadan. We call it tarawih, but tarawih is nothing but a qiyam prayers after Isha, right? So the Prophet ﷺ again says that if you pray Isha in congregation as if you prayed qiyam for half the night. Can you imagine? Then if you pray, وَمَنْ صَلَّ الصُّبُحُ فِي جَمَاعَ or الصُّبْحِ فِي جَمَاعَ, if you pray Fajr in congregation in the masjid, فَإِنَّمَا صَلَّ اللَّيْلَ كُلُّ, and if you pray Fajr as if you completed the entire night. So again, if you pray Isha and Fajr in congregation, you prayed the entire night. as if you're standing. Can you imagine? Like, we get tired after an hour and a half on Taraweeh. People's legs start to shake, right? Guess what? If you pray Isha in congregation, and you pray Fajr in congregation, it's as if you stood the entire night praying Qiyam. I recommend that you stand there, because again, if you do that, you got the rewards. Now, if you continue praying Taraweeh in congregation with everyone, you're going to keep getting those massive rewards. I know that some people strive for the bare minimum, but true believers, they aim for the highest amount of rewards. We don't want to do the bare minimum, say, oh Allah, hey, I prayed Isha in Jama'ah, that's it. Again, if you have something significant to go to or to do, okay, do Isha in Jama'ah, right? And do it outside of Ramadan. You're still going to get the rewards of praying Qiyam half the night. But if you can, why not? You're rejecting rewards from Allah. There's nothing called extra rewards. You're going to need every single reward on the Day of Judgment. So that's my two cents on this. But I know a lot of people do it. And again, listen, doing this is better than nothing. Doing this is better than not praying in the masjid at all or in congregation at all. If you don't pray at all in congregation, then I prefer that you do the bare minimum. But if you're someone who's capable of standing for Isha, then Taraweeh, please do it. It's going to benefit you. Wallahi, it will. Inshallah. So anyway, I don't want to, this is also was you know, another tangent, but my point is, the night of Qadr is a night of worship. Do the best you can do when it comes to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the last 10 nights. Because you want to catch the night of Qadr. Again, the reason why we do it in the last 10 nights, because we want to catch the night of Qadr. Because we don't know when it is, when it will be, or when the night of Qadr is going to be. And there are like opinions, and I'm going to tell you the opinions literally in a second now. But my point is, do your best in the last 10 nights. Because again, this is it. We're in, like, when people say we're in the end game right now, we are in the end game right now. Last 10 nights are the end game of Ramadan. Because you have three types of Muslims during this month of Ramadan. The first type, which is the best type, is that those who were fasting correctly, go to pray Taraweeh every single night, read Quran, and they're perfecting their worship during the month of Ramadan from the beginning. And you have those who have not done anything, literally anything during the month of Ramadan. They have not prayed, they have not even prayed the mandatory prayers, they have not tried to do the extra prayers, the sunnah prayers, they have not tried to pray Taraweeh, they would go out and have fun with their friends as if it's another day, and they do like this thing, Suhoor Fest, which I don't want to even talk about that because, you know what, I want to talk about that for a second. I said I wasn't going to talk about that, but I really want to talk about that. There were a lot of people criticizing this thing. It was on social media. People were criticizing this concept of Suhoor Fest. For those of you who do not know, Suhoor Fest is a festival. Literally, it's what it means. A festival of people, food vendors. And, you know, they're like playing anashid or like, you know, some Islamic songs. People are mixing and talking and mingling and doing this and that. And people are having a blast. And that happens sometimes, as a matter of fact, between sometimes right after Taraweeh, all up until Fajr. And by the way, it's a tradition that started happening in every single state in the U.S. Now, I'm not against that in general. I'm against certain types of what you call, quote unquote, Suhoor Fest, which is the type that there's no religious value of it. They're just having kind of a bizarre festival. Food vendors coming in, they're having a blast, the people, the Muslims going there having a blast, and it's a fun time during Ramadan. And that's all it is to them. And they slap the term Suhoor Fest to make it like it's a religious event, when in actuality it's not. And I've seen those. I know that there are Suhoor Fests that are like more traditional or more like they eat together and then they do remembrance of Allah. They are very rare, by the way, those types of Suhoor Fest, right? But the majority, it's like a lot of people having fun, laughing. And there's nothing wrong with laughing, but like they're wasting time during Ramadan, having fun. Some of them, they literally play music. Some of them, not all of them, some of them. I've seen the videos. This is documented. My dear brothers and sisters, this is not the month of festivity, or you don't go out. Festivity comes after in Eid. That's why Eid exists, by the way. Go have fun, halal fun. Have a blast. Wear your best clothing. Go out with your buddies and friends. But Ramadan is meant for seclusion. You have to sit and read Quran or in congregation. Not to go and have fun and spend hours and hours and spend money. That's another aspect. Our brothers and sisters in Gaza are starving and you're bragging about the insane amount of food you're having and the blast you're having while you're, oh, this sandwich tastes so good. Oh, you should try the sandwich. And you have people who are watching this probably starving to death. Or people who are watching this and they have families in Gaza or in other parts of the world who are starving to death. That is the status of our youth. Some of them, not all of them, some of them. So yeah, I totally agree with that criticism of that specific type of quote-unquote suhoor fast. Maybe there are halal ones out there. Maybe there are more appropriate ones out there. I have no doubt about that. But those types of ones and everybody's like defensive and getting angry. Come on, my brothers and sisters. We have to feel our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza. Be more mindful. When, you know, when it comes to posting, and those who post like they're like, oh, they have like a mashallah, a table filled with food for their families and their buddies and their friends. Have some compassion with our brothers and sisters who can't even eat one loaf of bread. Be more mindful. The Prophet ﷺ said it's a sign of belief to feel your brothers and sisters who can't eat even overseas, who are suffering overseas. Because if you can't feel them, if you live your life and you don't care about them, then you have a problem in your faith. This is according to the Prophet ﷺ. This is not according to me. It's a sign of iman, of belief. But my point is, again, I want to go back to the night of Qadr is Ramadan in general, but let's say the night of Qadr is a night of worship. And you have those people, again, we're talking about the second category. We have the category of the people who, mashallah, have been doing great since the beginning of the month of Ramadan. And you have those who take it as literally a cultural event. It's not a religious event. It's a cultural event. Let's go have fun. Oh, let's go have party. We call Suhoor Fest. I go to Suhoor Fest every night. I go to Suhoor Fest every night. Let me take selfies. Let me take a video with like a song in the background to show how fun we're having and mixing. Most of them, by the way, I've seen the videos. They're mixing together. Wallahi, one video where they were asking the guys, how many phone numbers have you gotten from our sisters? And then they asked the girls the same question and people had given numbers. I have two phone numbers. This is during the month of Ramadan. Let that sink in for a second. Let that sink in for a second. So that is the second type. They're there. They're out there. We've seen them. They don't do anything during the month of Ramadan. And we have the third type, which is the majority of us actually fall into that category. The middle ones, which is we try our best, but some nights we don't do Taraweeh. Some nights we slack. Some days we slack. Like that's the majority of all the Muslims, by the way. We fall into that middle category, right? The one in the middle. Whether you are from the first or the second or the third category, you still have a chance. The first two-thirds of Ramadan are gone. You're not going to get them back. It's over. Whatever you've done or you have not done, it's over. Too late. But you still have a chance. The Prophet ﷺ said what? مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ The Prophet ﷺ said, if you pray Taraweeh, if you pray in standing, Qiyam, during the night of Qadr, all your sins will be forgiven. So the Prophet ﷺ is giving hope to those who even didn't do a single thing during the entire month of Ramadan up until this point. You still have hope, my dear brothers and sisters. You still have hope. If you have not done a single thing during the month of Ramadan up until this point, 10 nights now, you have a chance to collect, gain what you've lost. You have a chance. And Allah is giving you that chance. And the Prophet ﷺ is giving us the glad tiding of that chance. If you're going to miss out on that night, then it's on you. You have no one else to blame but yourself. So my point is, Allah is giving us a gift, a blessed night, the most special night of the entire year, for God's sake, wallahi. One night, one special night Allah is giving us and telling us, you pray and you worship during that night. It's far better than almost 80 for years in terms of rewards. You can all gain what you've lost during the month of Ramadan. It is a truly a blessing and a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the problem is maybe you've missed it because, again, it's an odd night. And last night, Saturday night, was the first odd night. Sorry, this video came a little bit later. But inshallah, we have almost 9 more nights left, inshallah. So we still can make it. Still can make it. Now, let's talk about the biggest and the most significant and controversial question when it comes to the night of Qadr, which is which night of the last 10 nights is the night of Qadr. We have, for the most part, major two opinions about that. The first opinion is that it's the night of the 27th. And this is, by the way, the predominant opinion of the people, not the scholars. Let me repeat. The majority of Muslim people, not scholars, they basically believe that it's the night of the 27th. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why the scholars don't believe that, or the majority of the scholars don't believe that. But let's stick with the first opinion, which is it is the night of the 27th. Now, let me explain something to you. Here in the U.S., I believe that the 27th of Ramadan will be Saturday, April 6th. Okay? That will be the 27th of Ramadan. Now, the night of the 27th happens a night before that day. So that will be Friday, April 5th. That will be the night of the 27th. So Islamically speaking, the night of a day happens before the day, the night before the day. Okay, again, the night of the 27th happens on the 26th. And it is the so the Taraweeh of the 26th, technically you're praying the night of the 27th. I hope I did not make that complicated. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about that. But like, again, the 27th, the day of the 27th is Saturday, April 6th. But what we call the night of the 27th happens a day before, the night of the day before, which happens on the 5th of April, Friday. So that is the night of the 27th, okay? So the night of basically the night of an odd night happens on an even night, if you know what I mean, okay? Now, for those who say that it's the night of the 27th, Let's go back to the origins of this opinion, right? First of all, is praying Taraweeh in congregation mandatory? The answer is no. Our Prophet ﷺ actually used to pray in the masjid, but not all days. So he didn't like for example, he would pray in the masjid about like 2 or 3 days of Ramadan and during the week, and then the rest of the week he would pray at home. Because he did not want to, he don't want people to think that it's obligatory to pray in the masjid for seeing him praying every single day in the masjid. So that was his way of telling people this is not obligatory, this is optional, right? So he would pray at home sometimes, he would pray in the masjid sometimes, and again, sometimes he would encourage the companions to pray at home as well. So again, it is in set in concrete that this is not mandatory to pray in congregations when it comes to Taraweeh, okay? Now, fast forward, the Prophet ﷺ passed away, and then Abu Bakr became the leader of the Muslims. Then he passed away. Then Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him and pleased with all of the companions, he became the leader of the Muslims. So during the time of the Umar ibn al-Khattab, you know, people went back to the masjid little by little. And again, they were praying just Taraweeh. Again, they know that it's not obligatory. The Prophet ﷺ established that. But the weird thing is that they would pray in groups inside the masjid. So, for example, every group would be led by an imam. Again, so you have a group who is led by Imam A, another group, in the same masjid, by the way, in the same mosque. Another group, because it's not mandatory, it's not like a Isha prayer, for example, or not a Maghrib prayer. So, it's a what do you call it? A Qiyam prayer that is a Sunnah. So, again, you have Imam B with his group, you have Imam C with his group, and all these things, right? So there were different groups praying, sometimes at the same time, or, you know, they're shifting in times, you know, there's a little bit of a delay between each group and other group. Again, they were in every spot or corner in the masjid. So Umar ibn Khattab, when he saw that, you know, like, and again, you have some who will pray 8 rak'ahs, some who pray 12 rak'ahs, some who pray 20 rak'ahs, they were all different. So Umar thought, okay, I'm going to gather all of these groups into one group led by one imam. Makes more sense. So that's what Umar did, by the way. Because a lot of people have this misconception that Umar came up with the concept of Taraweeh. That is completely not true. The Prophet ﷺ used to pray Taraweeh, but he used to pray sometimes at home, sometimes at the masjid. What Omar did is he gathered all the different groups who used to pray Taraweeh separately into one group, and he made it happen every night. That's all. So he revived the sunnah, but he made it more proper. Now all of us pray together instead of just groups. So that's what Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, did. He did not come up with the concept of Taraweeh, just to let you know, okay? So again, he gathered everybody behind one single imam, and they would pray Taraweeh every single night. And again, knowing that it is a sunnah, like the Prophet ﷺ always wanted them to, you know, realize and know. Now this one single imam was called Ubay ibn Ka'b. So Ubay ibn Ka'b was a very famous companion, and he would lead the Muslims during the congregation of praying Taraweeh every single night during the month of Ramadan. So now, Ubay, by the way, Ubay was very famous to the degree that the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, if you want to listen to the Quran like it was revealed to me, like I was, you know, I would recite it. He said that about two people, Ubay and Ibn Mas'ud. Remember, we talked about Ibn Mas'ud. He's the first one who recited the chapter of Ar-Rahman by the Kaaba when Muslims were being persecuted, by the way. So again, it's a long story, but my point is, Ubay and Ibn Mas'ud were known that they would recite the Quran the same way the Prophet ﷺ would recite it. So the Prophet ﷺ told us that Ubay ibn Ka'b and Ibn Mas'ud used to copy his recitation kind of melody or his way of recitation when it comes to the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ, one time, another story about Ubay ibn Ka'b to show you how significant Ubay ibn Ka'b is. The Prophet ﷺ one time went to Ubay ibn Ka'b and told him something very, very interesting. He said what? Inna Allah amarani an aqra'u alayka. The Prophet ﷺ went to Ubay and he said, Allah commanded me to read this chapter to you. And then the Prophet ﷺ recited, Lam yakunu alladhina kafaru min ahli al-kitabi. This is basically the chapter of Bayina. And then Ubay ibn Ka'b said, Wasammani Allah. And he told you by name, he mentioned my name. He told you, go and say this to Ubay. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Naam, yeah. Then Ubay ibn Ka'b burst crying. He could not withhold his tears. He could not stop crying. He kept crying. He kept weeping. By the way, it's the weeping of happiness. It's crying from happiness. Imagine, like the Prophet ﷺ went and told you, Allah told me to recite this to you, specifically, O Ubay. He could not stop crying. And the reason why Allah said that is because Allah was honoring Ubay ibn Ka'b. And that was Allah, again, there are Allah honored multiple companions in different ways. Like, for example, Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, he was honored by what? When the devil, when the shaitan sees Umar, the Prophet, this is an authentic hadith, multiple actually hadith about that, shaitan or the devil would run away. Like if Umar is walking from a street and the devil is flying in that street, and then the devil sees Umar ibn al-Khattab, the devil would literally pick another route, being afraid of Umar's faith. Imagine. Again, we have Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Sa'd ibn, the famous companion. What happened to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh when he died, when he was martyred? The throne of Allah shook. That didn't happen with any other companion. So again, Allah would honor different companions in different ways, and that was the way to honor Ubay ibn Ka'b, by asking the Prophet ﷺ to recite this, and to way of honoring him among the rest of the companions. But anyway, why do we talk about Ubay ibn Ka'b? How is he significant to the concept of Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr? Because he was the companion who said, I swear by Allah that the night of Qadr is the night of the 27th of Ramadan. Now you see why it's significant. Now you see why a lot of people believe in it. Because this prestigious, very one of the elite companions said straight up, I swear by Allah is that the night of Qadr is the night of the 27th of Ramadan. So that means it's not a joke. This is real. This is not someone who is a random person who came and said, guys, it's the night of the 27th. No. There's a legitimate reason why many Muslims believe that the night of Qadr is the night of the 27th. Okay? Ubay ibn Ka'b was not, you know, the only... By the way, Ubay ibn Ka'b was not the only companion who would say that. There were multiple companions, very few, not the majority of them, a couple of them, actually confirmed that it is the night of the 27th. As a matter of fact, an old man came to the Prophet ﷺ. and told him, O Prophet of Allah, I know that the last 10 nights are significant. Yet I cannot pray all 10 nights because I'm old and I'm physically incapable of standing and praying with everyone else. So tell me, what can I do for that? So the Prophet ﷺ responded and said, okay, if you cannot pray all 10 nights, then pray the odd nights. Stand in Qiyam and pray the odd nights. Then the old man replied, O Prophet of Allah, that means it's about 5 nights and this is a little bit tough for me. It's difficult for me. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, then pray on the night of the 27th. It doesn't get more clear than that. Am I right? The Prophet ﷺ is literally telling the old man, okay, if you can't pray the odd nights, then pray the night of the 27th. That basically seals it, right? That seals it that this is the night. Because the Prophet ﷺ is basically trying to tell him, okay, pray on that one significant night. Here's the issue with that. Because now if you tell these two hadith to anybody, they'll be like, all right, we believe now 100% that it's the night of the 27th. Well, the biggest issue with that is that there are other hadith, authentic ones by the Prophet ﷺ, that contradict that. Like, for example, the Prophet ﷺ says, pray the last 10 nights and pray the odd 10 nights. The Prophet ﷺ did not say pray the night of the 27th. He said pray that all the odd nights. Make sure. Now, the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith said pray all nights, the last 10 nights. Then he said, if you cannot catch all 10 last 10 nights, catch the odd nights. And he stopped it then. Now, also the Prophet ﷺ one time in a hadith said, okay, you can pray the 23rd or the 25th. Or the 29th. Well, what we can tell, the constant thing here is that it's an odd night. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't explicitly say, pray on the 27th, except for that one hadith to the old man. So how do you make of this? Like, how can we reconcile now? Now, the scholars actually raise a really good question regarding the two hadith that basically, quote unquote, confirm that it's the night of the 27th. Like regarding Ubay ibn Ka'b, when he said, I swear by Allah, it is the night of the 27th, the night of Qadr. And when the Prophet ﷺ told the old man, then pray on the night of the 27th. The scholars have said something that is very, very interesting. And it's a very legitimate kind of case that they built against that, which is what? They said, does that mean it is every single year the night of the 27th, or it happened to be when the old man was asking the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ knew that on that night, in this Ramadan, it will be the night of the 27th. And Ubay ibn Ka'b knew that it was in this Ramadan, it will be the night of the 27th. Meaning what? Is it the night of the 27th every year of Ramadan, or that one specific year when these two incidents took place? It's a very, very legitimate kind of point. So we don't know exactly, right? That now the first point that they raise is that it could be just this one night actually matches a lot of the hadith. Because if think about it, if that one year it was the night of the 27th, then later on the Prophet ﷺ said, well, you can pray, you make sure to pray the night of the 25th or the 27th or the 29th, then okay, that makes sense. And by the way, that is now it goes back to the majority opinion of the scholars, not the people. And here's the problem. The people, they always want that one day kind of lazy approach. We just want to worship hard one day. We don't want to do it the rest of the 10 nights. Unfortunately, it is reality. And listen, I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. All of us are guilty of it. We want to believe that there is one single day that is well known to us. We know that day. It's the night of the 27th. And we want to work hard on that day. And we just want to, you know, take a break for the, you know, we're still going to worship, but it's going to be very intense on that one night that we know of, which is the night of the 27th. It is the approach of people who, you know, they don't want to keep doing it every single night for the last 10 nights. That is actually the common belief. The scholars, however, have a different opinion. The majority of the scholars. Now, of course, some scholars believe it is the night of the 27th because these two situations that we talked about. But the majority of the scholars believe, again, raising that first point, that it could be just on that one year. It happened to be the night of the 27th. The Prophet ﷺ knew about it, and that's why it was recommended to them. Because, by the way, Ubay ibn Ka'b would never swear that it's the night of the 27th unless the Prophet ﷺ told him something about it. right? So maybe it happened that 1 year, it happened to be the night of the 27th. Because the Prophet ﷺ again said, إِلْتَمِسُوهَا فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. Look at this. إِلْتَمِسُوهَا فِي كُلِّ وِتْرٍ. Catch the night of Qadr in every single odd night. Basically, it could be any of the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This is an explicit hadith, an authentic one by the Prophet. If it was the night of the 27th every year, the Prophet would not say, try to catch it at every odd night of the last 10 nights. Or it could be any of the odd nights. The Prophet literally said it could be any of the odd nights of the last 10 nights. So if that's the case, if it's the night of the 27th, it's all a very logical point, to be honest. If it is the night of the 27th every year, the Prophet would not say it could be any of the odd nights. These two hadith would contradict one another. So what makes more sense is that 1 year, or maybe even 2 years, it was the night of the 27th. If those two incidents took place, and I believe it was in the same year. I believe so. So that makes it that 1 year, it was the night of the 27th. And that's why the majority of the scholars, they believe this. They believe that every year, the night of Qadr moves in the last 10 nights, or in the last odd 10 nights. So again, the overwhelming majority of the scholars, they believe that it could be the night of the 21st, the night of the 23rd, the night of the 25th, the night of the 27th, or the night of the 29th. So they believe that every year it shifts, it moves, right? You know, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she literally said this. Look at this. And this is actually another proof that it's not just fixed on the night of the 27th. She said what? She said, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَجْتَهِدُ فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. She said the Prophet ﷺ used to boost his worshipping in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. مَا لَا يَجْتَهِدُ فِي غَيْرِهَا. Unlike any other nights. Okay? Look at this. كَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ أَحْيَى لَيْلَهُ وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ وَجَدَّ وَشَدَّ الْمِئْزَرِ. Meaning what? She said that once the last 10 nights come in, it's a beautiful statement. His nights will be filled with life. Meaning what? He lives his nights as if it's midday. Like his nights will be alive, filled with life. أَحْيَى لَيْلَهُ. You know when you walk into a house in the middle of the night and they have lights and people are just waking up and they're doing work and they're reading and it's like it's midday. So the Prophet ﷺ used to act in these 10 nights as if they're midday because of how much he's awake. He's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's praying, reciting Quran. It's as if his nights were midday, broad daylight. Again, there's life in those nights. وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ. And he would wake up all of his family members. Come, pray, read Quran. Come on, we have to work hard during those last nights. وَشَدَّ الْمِئْزَرِ. Which is a very interesting expression, shadd al-mi'zar, meaning that he tightened up his waist belt. It's basically a way of, I'm ready to go to work. Tightening up your belt, meaning I'm ready for work. Let's do some work. That means he's mentally and physically preparing for something significant to happen during that night, which is, again, his acts of worship. SubhanAllah. And that was every night in the last 10 nights. Which shows you it was not just the night of the 27th, like, again, some scholars believe. Now, in conclusion of all this, between the two opinions now, let's state the facts. What are the facts? None of the companions skipped a night in the last 10 nights, including Ubay ibn Ka'b himself. Like, Ubay ibn Ka'b on that night said what? I believe by Allah that it is the night of the 27th. And he said it once. That means, again, it could be that 1 year. But even he never skipped a single night. He would always worship hard in the last 10 nights. He would, you know, again, like they all try to imitate the Prophet ﷺ, tighten their belts, and they would go to work. They would worship Allah. They would stand in prayers. They would read Quran every single night in the last 10 nights. Not just the night of the 27th. You know what I mean? Except for, of course, the old man. He was focused on one specific night on that year when the Prophet ﷺ talked to him, right? Also, and this is something very important that we have to think about. We do not know for a fact which is odd and which is an even night. What do you mean? Sometimes the moon sighting and the calculations mistakes could happen. And I'm not trying to shake your world in any negative way, but we might, what we might think is an even night in actuality is an odd night. And what we think is an odd night might be in actuality an even night, maybe due to some mistakes in calculations. Like, for example, Ramadan was supposed to start on that day, but in actuality was supposed to start a day before or a day after. So we don't know for a fact. Like, what you might think is an odd night could be in actuality an even night. And you're worshiping, if you're just, for example, if you just chose to worship in an odd night, you might be doing it all wrong because you're actually worshiping on an even night. You see my point? My point is worship hard and work hard during the last 10 nights, period. Because that will increase your chances into witnessing or catching the night of Qadr. If you want to if you're fixated on one specific night and it's not that night, you've lost. Or if you're fixated on saying, I'm just going to only worship the last odd night, and it's actually not odd night, then you've lost. Now, if you fixated on worshiping truly and hard in all of the last 10 nights, then your chances are significant to catch the night of Qadr. And I think we should be smart about this. Again, it's only 10 nights, my dear brothers and sisters. Only 10 nights that we should work really hard during those last 10 nights. Now, you have this other question that a lot of people who don't understand how Allah operates ask. How does it happen in different time zones? Because sometimes what we have a night here in our, for example, in the US, it could be a daytime in a different country. Does it happen on multiple nights, but it's called only the night of Qadr? How does that work? Look at this. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in the last third of the night every single night. This is one of the most famous hadith out there. It's very authentic. Again, when he descends on one night, it might not be a night in another country or another continent. How does that work? Allah exists outside of time and space that we know of. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists outside of time and space that we know of. Allah is not existing and abiding by our paradigm in the concept of day and night. When Allah says there's one single night of the year and all the angels descend, that means it applies to every single spot on earth in a way that suits Allah's majesty. It's part of what we call the unseen, the world beyond our world. How it happens, we do not know. Does it happen? 100% it does. How? Allah only knows. Does it happen in different periods of time? We don't know. Does it happen all in the same way, but in a very, like I said, it's the unseen world, because Allah does not abide by our time. We even said Allah's one day is equivalent to 1,000 years of our time. That is a fact. So Allah, again, does not abide by our paradigm, by our time and space. I know that question irks some people, but it's actually the simplest answer is Allah exists outside of time and space as we know it. And that makes it possible for Allah. Again, it's everything is possible for Allah, but mechanically or like logically how it happens, Allah exists outside of that context of time and space. That is, again, when you say Allah descends in the last third night of every night, how does that happen in different time zones? How does that happen? Because in different times, and when he descends here when it's nighttime, but it's morning time in another country, how does that work? It works because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists outside of time and space as we know it. Now, I want to talk about something else regarding the night of Qadr, which is destiny or decree. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the chapter of Dukhan, verse number 4, says what? فِيهَا يُفَرِّقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, on the night of Qadr, Allah writes his decree, or his decree is executed by the angels for the rest of the year. Wait, what? Remember, we talked about layers of destiny in the series of destiny. I don't know if it was 2 seasons ago or something. And it was simply this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has yearly destiny. And there's a daily destiny. And there's a destiny that's basically for all time. Like Quran, for example, was meant to be revealed. That's what we call the divine destiny, the whole destiny, the upper destiny. This is like the most highest level of destiny. right? But there's something on who will enter hellfire and who will enter paradise. This is all also from destiny. We control our destiny, but it's already written what we will do. We already talked about this ad nauseum. But my point is, the yearly destiny, meaning what? For example, in the year 2024 up until the Night of Qadr in 2025, okay? Who will be born? Who will die? Who will have provision and how much? Who will have wealth and how much? Who will have children and who will have males or and who will have females and how many? Who will get a new house? Who will do this? This is what we call a yearly destiny. Things that will happen on a yearly basis. The decree of Allah descends and is basically is executed starting from the Night of Qadr up until next year, also the Night of Qadr. So again, from one Night of Qadr to the next year of the Night of Qadr, this is where all the decree of Allah is happening on a yearly basis. And of course, it's all, we know that. Writing, by the way, never stops. As we speak, the pen, Al-Qalam, is writing destiny. Remember, the Night of Isra and Mi'raj, the Prophet said what? I heard, Sami'tu Al-Qalam Yaktub. I heard the pen writing destiny, which is in the Lawh Al-Mahfuz. We talked about this, the preserved tablet. It's all predetermined before the creation of existence by 50,000 years. However, pen is still writing. Well, that's what we call annual writing. There's something called annual writing. There's something called daily writing. Again, if it's too confusing for you now, please go back to the series of destiny. Alhamdulillah, I explain every aspect of this part. So now, again, it's important and for the sake of our topic, that the yearly decree that happens, that comes down, it comes down during the night of Qadr. So that is another reason why the Night of Qadr is extremely significant in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what are the signs of the Night of Qadr? Because there are actually signs of the Night of Qadr. There's actually multiple hadith about the signs of the Night of Qadr. For example, the Prophet said, صَبِيحَةُ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ لَا شُعَاعَ عَلَهَا. The Prophet is saying that the morning of the Night of Qadr, the sun rises without any rays. There is no sun ray. Imagine this, subhanAllah. Another hadith, Laylatul Qadri, Laylatun Samihatun Talaqatun La Harratun Wala Barida. The Night of Qadr itself is not extremely cold and it's not extremely hot. It's a very beautiful weather. تصبح الشمس تصبيحتها ضعيفة حمراء. The morning, again, of the Night of Qadr, the sun rises and it looks like it's red. And it's weakened, meaning when they say weakened, it means there is no sun rays in it. It's not like extreme and it's not very bright. It's very mellow in a way. I don't know how to explain this, but yeah, again, these are signs. Again, the night, it's a beautiful night. It's very moderate in terms of weather and the sun rises without sun rays. Now, some might say, well, if it happens in the middle of like the cold winter, and the night is, what, it's going to be warm all of a sudden? No, but you're going to feel that the weather is better than any other day of the, at least the month, during the month, right? Again, it won't be like all of a sudden this warm day. It's not going to be like that. But it's going to be, in terms of weather, way better. And if it's in the middle of the summer, it's going to be a more cooler night than the rest of the night. Not going to be significantly different, like in a supernatural way, but it will be kind of obvious, and it will be literally felt. So again, there's a lot of signs. Again, there's another hadith that says that in Imarati Laylatul Qadri innaha safiyatun. It's going to be, it's like a pure night, and it's very clear. When you look at the sky is very clear. There's no like a lot of clouds. It's just clear, and it's a very calm night. Sakinatun sajiyatun, la barda fiha wala har. It's a very calm night. And again, a lot of people actually have witnessed that during like many years. I've heard a lot of people, me myself, I've witnessed certain nights that are what we presume one of the last 10 nights was very calm, was very, again, something was always different about it. And these are things that are signs of that night of Qadr. Now, what do we do during that night? Now, we know the significance of it. We know what we, again, in general, what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. But let's talk about like now what we're not supposed to do. And then we'll talk about what we're supposed to do. What we're not supposed to do is literally just waste it. We can't just waste the night. You can't just go and sit down and gossip with your friends or your family members and, you know, try to avoid social gathering during that night. Try to your best. Because social gathering, you can talk about someone, backbite someone, and you don't want to sin during those last 10 nights, especially during the night of Qadr. That's one thing. Another thing is don't get distracted. People get distracted by going out, by watching whatever TV or movies or whatever, or by playing on their phones or scrolling on social media. Don't get distracted by any of this. Be very disciplined. Be like a soldier. You know, like I have a mission. I'm on a mission to do my best during the last 10 nights. Do not get any distractions, and inshallah, you shall gain the rewards. Now, what you should, the best dua, by the way, this is actually a hadith, but the Prophet ﷺ, when Aisha, his wife, may Allah be pleased with her, she asked him, what am I supposed to do on the night of Qadr? He said this dua, and all of you memorize this dua. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Again, Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are the ultimate forgiver. Forgive us. Fa'afu anna. Now, there's a difference between Allahumma innaka antal ghafurun faghfir lana. There's an Arabic, it means ghafur. Now, there, like I said, in Arabic, there are two words for forgiver. Ghafur and afu. And again, that shows you the subhanAllah, the beauty of the Arabic language. Ghafur is the forgiver. Oh Allah, you are the forgiver, please forgive us. Afu is also the forgiver, but with a big difference. Afu and maghfira. Again, I'm getting into a little bit of a linguistic here comparison. Afu and maghfira, they're both forgiveness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, af is to forgive and wipe and erase all the sins. So it is said that when Allah forgives us, when Allah does maghfira, our sins are still there in our books, but Allah forgives them. But they're still there, but you, inshallah, we won't be held accountable for those sins, but they're still in our books. However, af, which what Aisha asked the Prophet ﷺ about, and the Prophet ﷺ told us to make that dua, which is af, is when Allah erases those sins completely from our books, as if they never happened. So Allah forgives it and erases it at the same time. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? SubhanAllah. So my point is, we're asking Allah to forgive us and erases our sins. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. O Allah, you are the ultimate forgiver, and forgive our sins and erase them at the same time. It's a beautiful dua that we have to make every single night, and make a lot of it after every salah. During the day, during the night, make that dua. Keep repeating that dua. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are the ultimate forgiver. You love to forgive. Tuhibbul afwa. You love to forgive. Forgive us. And to make it more, you know, like more authentic as the Arabic word, oh Allah, forgive and erase our sins. You love to forgive and erase our sins. So forgive and erase our sins. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. And, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Your deeds are defined by how they end. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. You can, you know, do great during the month of Ramadan, and then you ruin it towards the end. And that ruins everything. You could live your life pretending that you're the perfect believer, right? And then you die a bad death, an evil death, because you were not sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Your deeds are defined by how they are concluded, how you conclude them, how you end them. And literally, there's nothing more significant than the last 10 nights of Ramadan. That's how you conclude your deeds during the month of Ramadan. You know? So we should do great, and we should end strong. We have to end. If you started strong, if you started weak, if you were in the middle, you have the chance to end strong, like the Prophet ﷺ said. Again, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. End your deeds on a strong note. And inshallah, you shall gain all the rewards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all the good deeds on such a blessed night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who catch the night of Qadr and gain all the rewards during the night of Qadr. And again, we need to be steadfast during the last 10 nights so we don't miss the night of Qadr. Thank you so much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.